And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Wonderful, fulfilling, informative, inspiring, invigorating. Those are the words the Reverend Dr. Thomas Olland used to describe a two-week new missionary orientation in St. Louis, which concluded July the 2nd with a service of sending that was held in the chapel of the International Center. Adlin was one of 20 missionaries and their 40 family members who attended the orientation, which prepares new missionaries for service abroad and gives them a first taste of what to expect in the foreign field. The missionaries will serve in a variety of roles for the LCMS, ranging from international school chaplains to nurses in 13 countries in Asia, Africa, Eurasia, and Latin America. The LCMS now has about 110 career missionaries as it moves closer to its 2016 goal of having 136 career missionaries in the field, a doubling of the career missionaries requested by the 2013 Synod Convention. A Christian college that accepts government funding but refuses to allow a same-sex married couple to live in housing for married students would be, quote, on the edge of the indefensible. This was said by Americans United for Separation of Church and State Executive Director Reverend Barry Lynn. Lynn was asked by a reporter at the National Press Club conference whether Christian colleges should be allowed to prevent same-sex couples from living in the same dorm room.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Hewe Longafi Lutheran Fihawa.
World Lutheran News Digest now presents the second half of the roundtable discussion concerning the Supreme Court's decision legalizing gay marriage. You're listening to a special program here on Worldwide KFUO. It is a roundtable discussion concerning the Supreme Court ruling legalizing gay marriage. I'm Kip Allen. With me is Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. And on the line, we also have Rob Doty, who is an attorney in New Mexico, who has handled a number of issues in this. President Matt Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had been with us, but his duties, unfortunately, have pulled him away. And we want to thank him very much for giving us the time that he has. Craig, where do we go from here? Actually, there's one thing I want to raise first. There was we were talking about the implications here. There is a dissenting paragraph here from Justice Alito, and I'm going to quote it here. It says, The ruling will be used to vilify Americans who are unwilling to assent to the new orthodoxy. In the course of its opinion, the majority compares traditional marriage laws to laws that demand equal treatment of African Americans and women. The implications of this analogy will be exploited by those who are determined to stamp out every vestige of dissent. Rob, do you have a comment on that?
Well, yeah, and I think Justice Roberts made the same analysis, and he says this creates serious questions about religious liberty. Many good and decent people oppose same-sex marriage as a tenet of faith, and their freedom to exercise religion is, unlike the right imagined by the majority, actually spelled out in the Constitution. When marriage was refined democratically, citizens could accompany it with religious liberty protections, but the majority's decision imposing same-sex marriage cannot, of course, create any such accommodations. You know, it is alarming. I mean, this now changes the natural law, as we've talked about before. I think it further suppresses religious rights and freedoms, and there could just be many unfortunate complications that are kind of come up and that we're going to see in the church. I mean, for example, what happens now in a Missouri Synod Lutheran Church when a same-sex couple comes and visits and want to be married in the church? I mean, of course, my advice would be that we say no, but where is that going to take us in the future? We don't know the answer to that question.
And it is a vexing question. It's one that's not going away. We have a caller at the line, Larry from Delwood. Larry, what do you want to say, sir?
I have a couple quick points. First of all, I'd like to thank you for putting the panel together. It's very informative. Secondly, about 2,000 years ago, a 70-man blue ribbon panel condemned our Savior to the cross. He went willingly, but they had that ruling wrong, just as this Supreme Court has this ruling wrong. If you allow the Bible to interpret itself, God defines marriage and he defines the sin of homosexuality in Genesis, Leviticus, Romans, and in 2 Timothy. And lastly, in the book of the Gospel of Matthew, it talks about something we haven't discussed yet, the division that's going to occur within Christian families that have members that are on the other side of this issue, and it's going to cause great division there. I'd like your comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Pastor D'Onofrio, what say you?
Well, Larry brings up a good point that God instituted marriage. We find this with Adam and Eve. He made man and woman, and he made them basically, you know, there's a lot of theological debate on this, but the idea that God pulled the woman from man and the feminine from the masculine, we now have two halves that come together as a whole in marriage. And so God created it this way. Along the way also, though, the Israelites wanted a king. And so God decided that we need to have two kingdoms when he allowed the Israelites. He said, they're going to tax you. They're going to conscript your kids into the military and all that kind of stuff. They said, well, all the cool kids have a king. We want one, too. And so the two kingdoms are established here for God's people. And so we struggle to live in both kingdoms as faithful Christians and as faithful citizens at the same time. We struggle with this. And along the way, marriage became something that is regulated by the state. And so now we have to straddle this line as Christians. We walk the tightrope of being faithful to our God and yet good citizens by the state. Of course, we are not called to abide by sinful behavior or even to participate. You know, a lot of times we think as long as the government's not making us participate, sinners are going to be sinners and we shouldn't expect them to not be sinners. But in this case, this is one of those cases where we see a slippery slope where the church is going to start being impacted sooner or later by this, either by political correctness, which is also known as political cowardice, and we're going to be impacted deeply by this. Persecution is coming. To what extent in the United States, I don't know. Hopefully, no one's going to have their heads chopped off or anything like that, like in other countries right now where Christians are truly being physically persecuted. Divisions in family, we should expect nothing less for the sake of the gospel.
Well, I want to bring up a point again. I am not a minister. I'm strictly laity here. But I think Scripture has already answered the question for us about division within the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's our family.
Jesus made it pretty clear.
Yeah, we don't have to approve of what the family member does, but we do have to love them.
Yes.
And I think that's the answer to it. Rob, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do. And I read an article recently. It's called Can We Make a Case for Marriage? It's written by actually my pastor, Pastor Warren Graff. It's an excellent article. You can find it on around the Word blog site. And it was written back in November of 2014 after the Windsor case, which was the striking of portions of the Defense of Marriage Act. And Pastor Graff makes an excellent argument that we can, you know, the essence of marriage, can we make the argument against same-sex marriages even outside of Scripture? And the Pastor Graff writes, marriage is not of the order of redemption. It's not, then, if we are speaking carefully of the revelation of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ is revealed to save sinners. Yet marriage was given before sin. Marriage belongs not to the order of redemption for which Scripture was given and is necessary, but to the order of creation, which places it not in the realm of revelation, but in the order of creation in terms of, in the realm of its natural law. And if we, I think that goes back to my beginning argument. I mean, I do agree with the biblical references, but when we're arguing this, we've got to take it, I think, out of the scriptural references, and we need to focus on this argument that what is marriage? Marriage unites two people in their most basic bodily forms. It's this one unity. The unity is found physically. And I think that's the starting language that we as Christians should use, and again, not get into this concept of commitment and love, but it is this idea of a physical unity that's used to procreate. And I think if that's the continued message, that's where we win the policy argument.
That website is aroundthewordjournal.com if you want to find that.
That's correct. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we have caller Mark on the line right now. Mark, you have a question for the panel. Mark, are you there? Well, I think we have lost Mark, unfortunately, but I believe we also have a caller, John, from Auburn, Alabama. John, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
Very fine. Thank you, sir.
Good. Yeah, long-time listener. Used to, when we just recently relocated down to Auburn, used to live in Lincoln, Illinois, used to listen to the program all the time, love the show. Basically, the question that I have, and I wanted to throw out there, is since the Supreme Court did go ahead with this travesty and authorize the same-sex marriages, legality marriage, don't we as a church body, you know, of course, given by this being, you know, basically against our faith, don't we have the right, if a couple, same-sex couple, comes to the church and requests marriage, wedding vows, don't we have the right as a faith-based organization to say no, that you know, without legal ramification?
That's an interesting question. I'm going to pass it first to Craig D'Onofrio, who is a minister and can give us a theological answer on that, and then I'm going to ask Rob, in our attorney in New Mexico, for the legal definition of it. Craig?
Well, on the legal side, I'll let Rob speak to that. But as far as I know, at this point, the answer is still yes, but it may become no. But there are ways around that also. Once again, as I said before, I've always been uncomfortable as a pastor operating in the kingdom of grace, serving as a functionary of the state, operating in that kingdom of power, the kingdom of the other world there. And so When we struggle like this, we're going to have to find a common spot here where we're going to be able to function in a way that serves the gospel and serves Christ. We're going to have to probably send people off to the state to get them married up legally and then come to the church on Sunday. I would prefer Sunday morning during the divine service and bless that union in the church. And of course, as Lutheran Christians, we don't believe that marriage is a sacrament. So I think our Roman Catholic friends are going to have a very hard time with this, where marriage is a sacrament. And they pretty much will tell you that unless you're married in the church by a priest as a Roman Catholic, the legitimacy before God is questionable. And so we see that people who don't get married in the Roman Catholic Church, come in the Roman Catholic Church, can easily get an annulment because God doesn't recognize their marriage. So we're going to see a lot of this happening outside of our churches. I think ultimately, and what I'm most concerned with at this point is what President Harrison pointed out, what we've talked about, is our auxiliary ministries, the universities, charities, and so forth, where if we don't cater to this agenda, we may lose the nonprofit status.
Or we may even see our radio license being challenged.
Yeah.
Rob, I'm going to pass it to you now to get your interpretation on that, bearing in mind that Justice Thomas specifically addressed that issue, saying he thought it was inevitable that this was going to happen.
Well, I think that's right. I think there's two different ways to look at it. The caller's question is, what happens if, you know, doesn't the church have it right to, you know, to say, no, we're not going to marriage, you know, we're not going to conduct a wedding here on the with two same-sex individuals? And I do think, I agree with Craig on that. I think that under the First Amendment, I'm going to read that to you. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, if your listeners will recall, recently we had the Hobby Lobby decision. And remember, Hobby Lobby had filed suit, and they were against the HHS's mandate that these corporations had to provide contraception under their health care plans. And the court ruled on a 5-4 basis with Justice Kennedy, who authored this horrible decisions on same-sex marriage, said, wait a minute, we have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the Free Exercise Clause in the First Amendment. So under some that religious organizations can object to being forced to do certain things that go against their religious beliefs. So even though I see the argument, I do think under the Hobby Lobby case that at least for the time being and for some time, that the First Amendment is going to be recognized, and Justice Kennedy will come in and will join the majority saying that religious institutions shouldn't be forced to do something they don't want to do. But the other half is, I agree with Craig, which is a lot of the dissenters in this case, Justice Roberts and Justice Thomas and Alito, I believe, do say, well, there's other gray areas, like in the universities. What do we do on that? And I think that that's ultimately going to be litigated, and it'll be interesting to see. But I do believe if the same court were together when when it reaches the Supreme Court, that the court will probably Kennedy will side with the majority in saying that religious institutions do have religious freedoms. But maybe I'm the optimistic one in this and hoping that our Supreme Court will follow its own language and its ruling in the Hobby Lobby case.
Now we have Mark on the line from St. Louis, and he has a question for us. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hello, Pastor Craig.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up, Mark?
Mark on Facebook. Question for you. Did the rulings, now that the left has gone this far and gotten their agenda pushed across, since they've redefined marriage, does it limit it to two people now?
Interesting question.
I have a material. If you don't mind, Craig, this is Rob here.
No, go for it, Rob.
I actually have Justice Roberts does bring that as dissenting opinion. In fact, he says, one immediate question invited by the majority's position is whether states may retain the definition of marriage as a union of two people. Although the majority randomly asserts the adjective, quote, two in various places, it offers no reason at all why the two-person element of the core definition of marriage may be preserved while the man-woman element may not. So the Chief Justice Roberts says, if you rely on the majority's opinion, that this also applies now to plural unions. And I think that's a very good point by Mark, that you bring that up. And in fact, Chief Justice Roberts says the way he's looking at it, that we're probably, the Constitution also allows plural marriages.
Interesting times. Going to go to another caller right now, Herman from Illinois. Herman, you have a question for the panel.
Yes, thank you, especially for your attorney. Over the years, up to the present time, states have allowed pastors and clergy the discretion of their own exercise of religious freedom, whether or not they will perform a marriage, even if by the state's definition that man and woman are legally able to get married if that situation is not in agreement with their conscience and belief and or the church they represent. And does that still stand when it comes to a gay marriage situation?
Yeah, I think that's a question. I do believe, and I just talked about this a little bit on the Hobby Lobby case, which we do have a federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it kind of emphasizes the First Amendment's right to exercise a religion. The majority of the justices in the Supreme Court now, even though Kennedy is the flip guy and he was the author of this horrible decision on the same-sex marriages, there are five on the court that do recognize religious freedoms, and I'm hoping, based on the language of the Hobby Lobby case, that will solidify the church's First Amendment right and pastors' First Amendment rights to decide whether they're going to perform a particular marriage or not. So I'm very hopeful on that. Is that something that could continue to be debated and deliberated and litigated down the road? Absolutely. But at this point in time, it's my opinion that the majority of the Supreme Court justices would rule in favor of the church on that issue.
You know, as I look at this from the pastoral side, And my rights as a pastor to say, well, look, you two aren't believers. You don't, you're living together outside of marriage. It appears that you have no interest in being part of the church, and yet you want the church to bless your union. As a pastor, I have a real hard time with that. But what I'm afraid of is that there will be activists who will come into the church, demand to be married. The pastor will say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Then litigation ensues, and even if the church wins under the First Amendment, the church is put under financially because they're just deep-pocketed to death. And I'm so thankful that there are attorneys like Rob out there and organizations that he works with who do this kind of work for the sake of the church and for the sake of moral law, natural law. But I'm really afraid that this is going to turn into a deep pockets issue, that even if the church is exonerated in the long run, many of our congregations will be put under financially.
Well, Rob, we've already seen this, where groups have been targeted. For example, your client, Elaine Photography, the florist in Washington. We saw that with a restaurant out in Ohio, another one down in Texas that's been driven into bankruptcy. It seems to me that there is definite targeting already going on. Is this what you're seeing?
There is, and in fact, I've argued from day one on the photography case here it happened in New Mexico. That was set up by the left. You can read the emails going back and forth from the same-sex marriage couple with the photographer, and I mean they're really setting them up. But the good thing is there are a number of nonprofit organizations out there. For example, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. Now, of course, we Lutherans wouldn't believe everything that some of their clients believe. I mean, they've represented all types of religious clients. But the good part about it is that they are funds. They're 501c, probably 501c4 corporations that are nonprofit that have their on in-house lawyers that are very good. That's all they do is come in and for free represent these companies. They'll file. I know they, in this case, they didn't represent any of the defendants, but they did file what's called amicus briefs. They've got excellent lawyers. So there are some very good nonprofit funds out there that do fight for religious liberties, which I think is good, and they're very helpful.
We're running very low on time right now, just a little bit more than a minute left, so I think we're going to wrap this up. Craig, do you have any last-minute thoughts? Again, I'm looking to you as a pastor.
Yeah. Two things real quick. The gates of hell will never prevail against a church. We may be persecuted. We may lose our tax-exempt status, but the gospel, the work of Jesus Christ, will continue. What man means for evil, God uses for good. I can't help but to think the average wedding today is more than $28,000. And as a pastor, I can tell you the church, the pastor, the holiness of marriage is one of the last things in most weddings that occurs. I think that this is an opportunity for the church to step back and say, look, weddings are about marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. It gives us a chance to reassess things. Kip?
Rob, your final thoughts? We've only got about 30 seconds remaining. So
yes, I mean, this is a tragic decision, but there's a lot of dissent, and I think it continues the discussions. And I think that if we can focus on marriage outside of a commitment relationship, but we talk about it from a natural law perspective, that man and woman were married, are supposed to be married, as opposed to man and a man, just because of the physical nature and procreation. If we can keep the argument there, I still believe that we can still push these agendas, and maybe there'll be a constitutional amendment someday.
Well, thank you very much. I want to thank Rob Daugherty, who has been the attorney talking about this issue. I want to thank the Reverend Matthew Harrison, President of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and, of course, my co-host, Craig D'Onofrio. I'm Kip Allen. I'm the host for this program, and God bless you all. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on. The fallout from the Supreme Court ruling continues. Worldwide KFUO and World Lutheran News Digest will stay on top of the story as it unfolds. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Hi, Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.